Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So I want to start out this morning by introducing you to a man by the name of J. Edwin Orr. That name may sound familiar to some of you because I've actually talked about him before. Actually, when I came in view of a call, I talked about Dr. Edwin Orr. Dr. Edwin Orr was Billy Graham's professor before Billy Graham was Billy Graham, if you know what I mean. So Dr. Orr lived from 1912 to 1987. In his lifetime, he was a minister, he was a hymn writer, he was a professor, he was an author, he was a promoter of church renewal and revival. He was also instrumental in the founding of Campus Crusades for Christ, which is a college ministry now known as CRU. So when Dr. Orr, when he was just 21 years old, he left a high-paying job. He hopped on his bicycle and he began traveling around Great Britain to share the gospel with anyone and everyone who would listen. And he actually ended up writing a book about this 10,000-mile journey on his bicycle. The book is titled, Can God? And this book became a very popular book at its time. In fact, it became so popular that churches began to ban the book from their youth group out of fear that some of their youth might get the same idea and hop on their bikes and do the same thing. So last week we launched into this new series titled Called Out, and as we're going through this series, we're looking at different individuals in Scripture that were called out by God for His plans and His purposes. Now as we think about this book by Dr. Edwin Orr that was banned in churches out of fear that their youth might do the same thing, I can't help but thinking, may that not be us. May that not be our church. In fact, let me take it a step further to say this. We should be less afraid that our young people would answer God's call and more afraid that they won't. We should be less afraid that our young people would answer God's call and more afraid that they won't. Listen, the world has given us plenty of reasons not to answer God's call. Whether we're talking about a high-paying job, whether we're talking about bending to the cultural and social norms of our day, whether we're talking about the desire for more and more worldly things, or simply just the comforts of this world, the world has given us plenty of reasons not to answer God's call. So we should be less afraid that our young people would answer God's call and more afraid that they won't. Now, this is not to say that God is unable to still accomplish His plans and His purposes. Regardless, we should never be afraid that God can't still accomplish His plans and His purposes. But many times, right or wrong, we respond to our fears. And so instead of having a fear that would drive us to want to hide or prevent our young people from answering a call from God, may we have a healthy fear that would drive us to talk about God's call and to even ask this question, are there individuals at First Baptist Church Stockdale that God is calling today? And that's my desire with this series, not to hide the fact that God can and is still calling people today, but to highlight that truth, that we do serve a God that is still calling people out for His plans and His purposes. So are there individuals at First Baptist Church Stockdale that God is calling today? And let's make this a little more personal and ask this question, is God calling me? As we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see God call yet another individual. Last week, we looked at the calling of Moses. We're going to see God call another individual this morning, and this individual is even younger than Dr. Orr when he was 21 years old when he hopped on that bike. So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 4 through 10 this morning, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Now, as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you.
prior to our passage, in the first few verses of chapter 1, we see the context of Jeremiah's calling. We see how and when Jeremiah was called. We see that Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah, who was one of the priests living in Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. And we're told that when God spoke to Jeremiah, it was in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Now, why are all of those details important for us? Because it's a reminder to us that God calls real people in a real time. God calls real people in a real time. The calling of Jeremiah is not a fictional story. This is a historical story. As we look at the book of Jeremiah, we are able to look back in history and we are able to see exactly how and when God called Jeremiah. God calls real people in a real time. And just as God was calling real people in a real time in biblical times, God is still calling real people in a real time today. God is still calling people in the 24th year of the 21st century. It's 2024 if you're struggling to do the math. All right. Now, I think this is an important reminder because I think it helps us as we try and personalize the possibility of God calling me. It's easy to disconnect ourselves from this possibility that God could call us if we think of this as just a fictional story, no different than a story that our parents shared with us when we were children. But when we recognize that God calls real people in a real time, that Jeremiah was a real person in history that heard from God, that God called Jeremiah for his plans and his purposes, then it helps us to realize, man, if God called real people back then, God can still call people today, and it could be that God is calling me. God calls real people in a real time. So I would just ask you, would you let your heart be open to that possibility this morning? Would you let your heart be open to the possibility that God could be calling you? Whether we're talking about God calling you to serve right here in this church body at First Baptist Church Stockdale as a volunteer, or whether we're talking about God calling you into vocational ministry or vocational missions, would you let your heart be open to that possibility today? So with that in mind, let's look at the calling of Jeremiah now in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested, 'Oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth.' Then the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration.' Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, 'I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant.'" Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there in verse 4. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me." Now, as we think about that, I want you to understand Jeremiah had a personal encounter with God. Now, as we looked at the context of Jeremiah's calling, and we saw that he was the son of Hilkiah, who was one of the priests in the temple, we actually see in the book of 2 Kings that Hilkiah was one of the high priests in the temple. And so we recognize that Jeremiah had parents that knew the Lord. Jeremiah had parents that walked with the Lord. Jeremiah had parents that had personal encounters with God themselves. But Jeremiah didn't just have parents that had personal encounters with God. Jeremiah had a personal encounter with God. And I point this out because many of us, maybe we were raised in the church. Maybe we saw our parents coming to church faithfully. Maybe we saw our parents serving the Lord faithfully. Maybe we saw our parents walking with the Lord every day of their life. I can remember growing up seeing my parents study their Bible, growing in their walk with the Lord. But I want you to understand, it's not enough just for our parents to have that relationship with the Lord. It's not enough just that our parents went to church. It's not enough just that our parents served the Lord. It's not enough that our parents had a personal encounter with God. We must have that personal encounter with God ourselves. As we think about our parents' salvation, if they had that personal relationship with the Lord, it means that they confess their sins. It means that they turn to the Lord and confess Jesus as the Lord over their life. But listen, we cannot rest on our parents' salvation to save us. Yes, our parents had that personal relationship with the Lord. They had that personal encounter with God. But for our salvation's sake, for your salvation's sake, your parents' relationship with the Lord is not enough. You must have that personal encounter with God. You must turn from your sins. You must confess Jesus as Lord. We must have a personal encounter with God ourselves. And as we personally encounter God, as we ourselves walk in that relationship with the Lord, many times what we see is that the Lord doesn't just call us to salvation, but following our salvation, what we find is that God calls us to a specific plan or a specific purpose. And that may be in many different ways in our life, but sometimes we find that God calls us to serve Him in a specific way. It could be that God calls us to serve Him in vocational ministry or vocational missions. And so as we think about God calling us, but as we also think about God calling Jeremiah here, there's three things I want you to see in this passage. First, we see that Jeremiah was chosen. Let's read verse 5 again. It says, "I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was chosen, and specifically we see that Jeremiah was chosen by God. And this is important for us to remember, because when it comes to being used by God for a specific plan or a specific purpose, I want you to understand a calling is not something we can manufacture. In other words, we cannot place a calling upon ourselves. And I say this because often we might have desires, but simply because we have a desire does not mean that that desire is from the Lord. Ever heard of a little thing called sin, right? Sin is when we give in to desires that are not from the Lord, and we walk in disobedience to God. Now, it could be that God does place a desire on our heart that really what God is doing is aligning our heart with His will. And in that regards, that desire is from the Lord. And when we walk in obedience to that, we are surrendering to that call that He has placed on our life. But it can't just be a calling that we place upon ourselves. We can't just decide in our own strength that we are going to do something. A calling is something that God has to place upon our lives. And listen, when we know that God has called us to something, when we have that confidence that this is not just something that has come from myself, but this is something that the Lord has placed upon me, this gives us strength to endure when things are difficult. Because listen, when we surrender to the Lord's call, it does not mean that things get easier for us. In fact, oftentimes the opposite happens. When we surrender to the Lord's call, when we begin walking in obedience to the Lord, many times what we see is that the enemy attacks us. The enemy wants to stop us. The enemy wants to prevent us from walking in obedience to the Lord. So it doesn't necessarily get easier for us. Earlier this year in January, I went up to preach at my former church for their Disciple Now weekend, and my former pastor, Dennis Hester, he came down here and preached with you guys. So I worked with Dennis for 11 years, and in my time working with him, he shared stories from the first church that he pastored at. And in his first year at the first church that he pastored at, things did not go the way he thought they would. In fact, in his first year, attendance did not increase at that church. Attendance declined at that church. And in his flesh, it would have been very easy to simply just throw in the towel and to say, "This is not going the way I thought it would go. I think I just need to move on from here. But Dennis was confident that God had called him to be the pastor of that church. And so regardless of whatever feelings he might have been having, he continued to remain faithful in the midst of the struggle. And as he pastored that church faithfully, eventually the church did grow to the point that they outgrew their building and they had to build a new church building. But Dennis may not have had that strength and that confidence to continue to be the pastor of that church had he not had the confidence that God had called him to that position. A calling is not just something we can manufacture. A calling is something that God has to place upon our lives. This calling here was placed upon Jeremiah's life by God. Jeremiah was chosen. We also see that Jeremiah was chosen before he was born. In fact, the choosing goes back even further than before he was born. It goes to before he was even formed in the womb. God chose Jeremiah. And I think this is a good reminder for us, because this means that even before Jeremiah had the chance to mess up, even before Jeremiah had the chance to prove God wrong, even before Jeremiah had any time to show God that he was not worthy, God had already chosen Jeremiah. I want you to know, God already knows your shortcomings. Even before you were born, even before he created you, God knew your shortcomings. He knew where you would go right, and he knew where you would go wrong. He knew where you would obey. He knew where you would disobey. God already knows your shortcomings, and not only does he know your shortcomings, but he has called you to salvation through Jesus Christ. And when we come to Christ as Lord, he also calls us to obedience. And he calls us to a plan or purpose, whether that's in ministry or not. He calls us to that plan. He calls us to that purpose. And so if you've been wrestling with whether or not God can call you because you know yourself and you're not quite sure if God knows you, let me tell you, God does know you. He knew you before he formed you in the womb. And listen, he is big enough to accomplish his plans and his purposes with you in spite of you. And man, that's a great comfort to me at times, that God is big enough to accomplish his plans and his purposes with me in spite of me. God already knows your shortcomings. God knew Jeremiah even before he created him, and God chose to use him. So Jeremiah was chosen. Second, we see that Jeremiah was reluctant. Let's look at verse 6 again. It says, "But I protested, 'Oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth.'" Jeremiah was reluctant. Just as we saw last week that Moses gave excuses to God when God called Moses, now we see Jeremiah is giving excuses to God. And Jeremiah really gives two excuses here. First, Jeremiah said, "I don't know how to speak." And this excuse that Jeremiah gives here, it sounds very familiar to the excuse that Moses gave last week. This is what I've learned about humans. Many times, we are scared of the same things. Now, that may not be a blanket statement. That may not always be the case. But especially when it comes to God calling us and God using us, many times we're afraid of the same things. What scares me might also scare you, and vice versa. So let me pause right here and say this. While our fears may be the same, our God is also the same. And the same God that was big enough to use Moses in spite of his fears was big enough to use Jeremiah in spite of his fears. And I'll take it a step further to say this. The same God that was big enough to use Moses and Jeremiah is the same God that's big enough to use you. If you're afraid to speak, or if you're afraid to do, if you're afraid of anything else, God is still big enough to use you. The same God that was big enough to use Moses and Jeremiah is the same God that's big enough to use you. Our God is the same. So Jeremiah said, "I don't know how to speak." Second, Jeremiah said, "I am only a youth." Now here's the reality. Jeremiah wasn't wrong. Jeremiah was young. He was just a youth. He was around 17 to 20 years old when God called him here, younger than Dr. Orr when he hopped on that bike. Jeremiah was very much aware of his youthfulness. He was very much aware of his inexperience. And so he thought, how could God possibly use me? But I want you to understand, God is less concerned with your age than he is your willingness. And maybe you need that reminder this morning. God is less concerned with your age than he is your willingness. Listen, there is not a certain age where God says, okay, now you're finally old enough and I'm able to use you. Or now you're too old and I can no longer use you. Regardless of age, God is able to use us. Regardless of experience, God is able to use us. God is less concerned with your age than he is your willingness. And so if you're older in years, hear me. God is not finished with you yet. God is not finished with using you. So don't throw in the towel and give up because you think I'm too old for God to use me anymore. God will be finished using you when he calls you home. Now, how he uses you may change over the years based on capabilities. But God is not done using you until he calls you home if you are a believer in Christ. And if you're younger, listen, God is not limited by your youthfulness. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't still have some equipping. It doesn't mean that you don't still have some experience to gain. But God is not limited by your youthfulness. And so instead of being reluctant, let's be willing. So we see that Jeremiah was chosen and Jeremiah was reluctant. Finally, this morning, we see that Jeremiah was empowered. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 again. It says, "Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, 'I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I've appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant.'" Jeremiah was empowered. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons that causes us to give excuses to God whenever we feel like he's calling us to something, one of the biggest reasons we give excuses is because somehow we feel like we're going to have to obey God and do this in our own strength. I know that was my struggle whenever I first felt called to be a pastor. When I was 16 years old and I felt that call from God, I wrestled with that call. Not because I wanted to be disobedient to God, but because any time I pictured myself preaching, any time I pictured being a pastor, I pictured that happening in my own strength. And I couldn't see past myself. I couldn't see past that strength. And I knew in my own strength, I just couldn't do it. But here's the good news for us. God is not asking us to obey him in our own strength. He's not calling us to accomplish his plans and his purposes in our own strength. He's simply calling us to obey him and to allow his spirit and his strength to carry us in that obedience. God's not calling us to obey him in our own strength. And if I could be honest with you, I still have to remind myself of that sometimes, that God's not asking me to obey him in my own strength. You know, I think many times we as pastors get put up on pedestals, maybe even to the point that some might think we can just look at a passage and know exactly what to say. We just look at a passage and we know exactly what to preach. Can I just tell you that that is not the case? And there are some days when I go into the office, some Mondays when I go into the office and I look at the passage that I've put on my calendar to preach for the upcoming Sunday, and in my own strength, I think, how in the world am I going to preach that passage this Sunday? In my own flesh, I think, man, how am I going to preach this? But as I begin to study and as I begin to pray and as I begin to read commentaries, as I look at all of these things and as I seek the Lord comes through once again. And he shows me week in and week out, it's not about your strength. It's all about my strength. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in me. And so if you need to hear that this morning, I would encourage you, don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. It's not about your strength. It's all about his strength. And listen, on this side of the cross, on this side of Pentecost, if you are a Christ follower, then God has given you his Spirit to empower you to obey him in anything that he might call you to. So we see Jeremiah was chosen, Jeremiah was reluctant, and Jeremiah was empowered. And the same God that empowered Jeremiah is the same God that can empower you to, young or old, the same God can empower you. But I want you to understand, before God is calling you to anything else, first and foremost, if you've never given your life to Christ, God is calling you to salvation. He's calling you to turn from your sins and to confess Jesus as Lord, the one who died for your sins on the cross and rose again. He's calling you to salvation today. And if you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning. Maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, the truth is I have not given my life to Christ. I've never called out to Jesus, confessing my sins, surrendering my life to him as Lord. Maybe you've come to church for years. Maybe you've been resting on your parents' salvation. You've been resting on your parents' faithfulness. But today you recognize, man, I need that personal encounter with God myself. I need that personal relationship with God myself through Jesus Christ. Today, if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, then I would invite you to respond. I'm going to be standing right down front as we sing. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like we saw Donald do this morning. We don't believe baptism saves us here, but we do believe that it is a step of obedience that God calls every single believer to take. And so if you've never done that, then I want to invite you to respond this morning. I'd love to make that commitment with you today. And maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've already followed with baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to become a member of this church body, to be on mission with this church body right here in Stockdale. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. But it could be that God is calling you to surrender your life to vocational ministry or vocational missions, and to make that calling public with this church body so that we can pray for you, so that we can walk with you through that calling. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you this morning. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.